job.
Her gaze switched to Dina.
Hurry with the others. Some troublemakers just showed up.
I saw how she opened it,
Violet said from behind Cole, grabbing his shoulder.
Come on.
Cole ran to one of the other coffins with Violet, while Mira and Dina raced to the third. Violet moved along one side of the container, undoing clasps. Cole had not paid close enough attention to learn the trick, but he helped Violet lift the lid when she had finished. Jace lay inside, frowning in hibernation. Dina ran toward them, slipping on the greasy stones, but somehow keeping her balance. Joe clambered from the other coffin, soaked and dripping.
Quick, Joe called. We're right by a slipstream. They're trying to force him in.
Dina reached the coffin and closed her eyes. Jace flinched, rolled over, and then stared wildly up at Cole.
Took you long enough.
We're doing our best, Cole said.
At least I made it, Jace said, swinging out of the coffin. You couldn't have cut it any closer. I was getting chucked into a slipstream when I woke up in the box. I'm not sure if our echoes are going to escape. I may have to skip the Echo Lands when I die.
Who are they?
Violet asked, pointing. Cole turned to see two men standing in the middle of the empty pond. The bald one was tall and broad. The shorter one was heavy-set with a long brown beard. Both glared. Both had a hint of transparency to them.
Echoes, Dina said.
They were both there,
Jace confirmed.
About 10 others as well. Some of them were rushing away, talking about reinforcements.
Jace raised his voice.
Nice try!
The bald echo pointed at him.
Your echo rode the stream. You will never return to the Echo Lands.
You can keep your lousy land,
Jace cried, crouching to pick up a slimy stone.
All of it! I'm happy to go straight to the other when my time is up.
He threw the stone, and it passed harmlessly through the echo's chest. The bald echo smiled.
That will be promptly arranged, I'm sure.
His stare shifted to Joe and Mira.
We have your echoes in custody. When you return here, you will be ours.
In the distance, a horn sounded. A second horn answered from another direction.
Enforcers!
Ari called down from the platform where he stood watch.
Lots of them!
The two echoes in the pond grinned.
See you shortly,
the bald one said to Mira. Dina stretched a hand toward the echoes.
You dare materialize and threaten in my presence, she sang out. I bind you!
The two echoes went from gloating to alarmed. They held still, trembling, eyes fearful.
I call you home, Dina yelled.
Then her voice became gentler.
Luxuriate in the home song. Submit to the tranquility. Answer the summons. Away with you.
The two echoes disappeared.
Did you get them?
Jace asked, hopefully.
They didn't stand a chance so near to a slipstream, Dina said. In they went. It's not much consolation. My deepest apologies to all of you. I didn't know the enforcers were so near. This has been a trap, sprung simultaneously in the physical world and in the Echo Lands.
No problem, Cole said with a big smile. We have a wayminder. Mira rolled her eyes.
It doesn't work like that, Cole. She can't open a way in Necronum.
She can with me around, Cole said, taking Violet's hand. A glimmering oval appeared nearby.
Yes!
Jace said, raising a clenched fist.
Cole, you're the best.
Hurry, Cole said. Dina, you and Ari should come too.
Ari!
Dina shouted.
Come down here immediately!
The orphans scrambled down the steep side of the pond, falling part of the way. Clothes and skin streaked with mud, he dashed toward them across the pebbly ground.
We have company!
Cole looked up to see an enormous bird of prey swooping toward the pond. An enforcer dangled from the talons.
Through the wayport,
Cole urged. Dina stepped into the oval and vanished, then Ari.
My rope?
Jace asked.
I have it,
Cole said, fishing the golden strand from his pocket and making sure it was still connected to his power. The huge bird screeched and dropped the enforcer, who rolled to a stop at the edge of the pond and produced a crossbow. He raised it and took aim. Cole passed the golden rope to Jace. Joe stepped in front of Mira as she entered the shimmering wayport. When he turned to follow her through, a quarrel pierced his thigh. Joe stumbled into the wayport and disappeared. The enforcer produced a second quarrel as the golden rope reached him and snaked around his waist. The rope heaved him high into the air and then smashed him down against the glossy stones of the emptied pond, armor clanging violently. As Jace retracted the rope, the broken body remained motionless.
"Go!"
Cole ordered. Jace lunged through. Cole followed. Suddenly, he was back in the parlor, inside Harmony's tower. Ari turned slowly, staring at the room with astonished eyes. Dina and Mira crouched over Joe, examining the quarrel that jutted from his thigh. Cole winced at the dark red stains spreading across the wet pant leg from the wound. He couldn't help thinking about the time Sultan had bled out and died from a wounded shoulder.
"I can yank it,"
Jace offered, his golden rope twirling above him like a magical lasso.
"Don't you dare,"
Joe growled through gritted teeth. Jace's rope shrank back into a small golden strand. Violet came through the way, and it disappeared behind her.
"There must be a healer around," Mira said. "Where are we?"
"Your mom's tower," Cole said. Mira glanced at him.
"Really?"
She looked around.
"She didn't used to live in a tower."
"Your dad lives in another one," Cole said. Mira turned back to Joe.
"Did you hear that? We're with my mother. We'll get you the best healer in the outskirts."
His expression strained. Joe gave a nod.
"Some painkiller would do." "Why are your clothes all wet?" Jace asked.
"His container must have sprung a slow leak," Dina said. "Some air remained when we opened it, but not much." "Thanks for shielding me," Mira said. "You shouldn't have."
"I was trying to get away too," Joe replied modestly.
"You probably saved my life," Mira said.
"Who's that?"
Ari asked, pointing to Queen Harmony, who had just entered the room. She stood staring at her daughter. Mira ran to her mother and embraced her. Harmony hugged back, her expression stunned. Tears filled her eyes, and she tightened her embrace. Only Violet knelt.
"We need a healer, Mother," Mira said. "Our friend Joe was shot while protecting me."
"Of course," Harmony replied, her lips finally parting in a huge smile. "Right away, my darling Miracle." Harmony held Miracle away from her and looked her up and down. "You haven't aged a day."
"I barely started again once I got my power back," Mira said.
"You're unhurt?" Harmony asked.
"Mother! Joe!"
Mira insisted, almost whining. Cole had never heard that particular tone from Mira before.
"Right away,"
Harmony said, bustling out of the room. Dina was using a frilly doily stolen from a nearby table to apply pressure at the source of the bleeding. Sweat slicked Joe's face.
"Those enforcers will wonder what happened," Jay said.
"What about the one with the great raptor?"
Dina asked.
"Didn't he see our escape?"
"I took care of that one," Jace said. "No living enforcer saw how we got away."
Queen Harmony returned. Violet knelt again.
"My personal physician is on his way," Harmony said. "Rise, Violet. Formalities end when people are bleeding."
The queen crouched beside Joe and placed a hand on his shoulder.
"Thank you for protecting my daughter. You have my lasting gratitude. Rest assured that you will soon be in some of the most capable hands in Junction."
"Thanks,"
Joe said.
"Who are our other guests?" Harmony asked, straightening.
"This is Dina," Mira said. "She took care of our physical bodies when we were in the Echolands the first time. Then she sent me, Joe, and Jace back to the Echolands and hid our bodies when the enforcers attacked."
"You also have my deepest gratitude," Harmony said, inclining her head.
"And this young man?"
Chase has traveled with me and Cole since we escaped the Sky Raiders, Mira said. I owe him my life many times over.
Thank you, Jace, Harmony said.
We have more to do, Jace said. Right, Cole?
Yes, Cole said.
And this little guy is Ari.
I found Cole and drained the pond, the boy said. You don't have to thank me.
If you helped my daughter make it home, I thank you nonetheless, Harmony said. You will all be rewarded.
Spend it quickly, Jace muttered. There's a Torvor coming.
A short, narrow man entered the room, his mostly bald head offset by a gray goatee. He hurried to Joe and placed both hands on his leg.
What did you do? Joe asked. The pain just stopped.
A minor changing, the physician said. I'm from Elawir, not a pretty wound. The quarrel was designed to wreak havoc, but I'll get you patched up. Jace was looking around the room.
So, this is the first castle.
Not the best part, Mira said. You should see the parade grounds and the stables, and of course the main residence.
I make do here, Harmony said.
Sorry, Mother, Mira said. I didn't mean...
Do not speak of sorrow, dear one, Harmony said. You belonged here these many years, and instead you lived like a hunted trophy. My sorrow is an ocean without shores. Where do we begin, my child? I want to hear about your time away from me. Tell me of your sisters. I understand you have seen all but Elegance. I want to know everything.
Dina bowed.
I imagine you would prefer some privacy.
You all deserve to be made comfortable, Harmony said. My head of staff is on her way.
Did you figure out how to get me to the Founding Stone? Cole asked. Harmony gasped.
I meant to tell you. The Founding Stone is gone.
Isn't that impossible? Dina asked.
Legend has it the stone cannot be moved, Harmony said, and yet it is clearly missing. Not a fragment remains.
Owendell must have moved it somehow, Cole said. He used Shapecraft to break off a piece and send it to the Echolands. He must have used Shapecraft to move the whole stone.
It's unsettling, Harmony said.
I wonder what he's going to do with it, Cole said.
Maybe he just wanted to keep it away from you, Mira suggested. I'm not sure it can do much unless I power it up, Cole said. But maybe they can energize it somehow through Shapecraft.
I will do my best to find it, Harmony promised. What would you like to do now?
I kind of want to keep moving, Cole said. Where to next? Jace asked.
Well, with Violet, we can go anywhere, Cole said. I need a good weapon. I couldn't bring my jumping sword back from the Echolands. The Sky Raiders had a bunch. I thought maybe we could go there and resupply.
The Sky Raiders? Jace exclaimed. Are you trying to give me a heart attack? Do you know how many nights I contemplated my death in that place? And how many days I barely dodged it?
No scouting missions, Cole said. Just buying gear.
Adam won't sell anything cheap, Jay said. Who's paying?
Cole pulled out the king's seal. The High King gave me unlimited credit. Jay stared open-mouthed.
Unlimited credit?
Of course he did, because the world is about to end. Life is always torture. Cole tucked the medallion away. At least it should get me a jumping sword. He turned to Violet. Can you take us to Skyport?
I've always hoped to go there, Violet gushed. I want to look off the brink, endless sky up and down.
I have to see it. You'll come back here before heading to Creon, Mira said.
We can, Cole said uncertainly.
Mira turned to her mother.
You won't try to stop me?
We should talk, Harmony said. Cole, absolutely come back before you go after Elegance.
Okay, Cole said. He He glanced at Jace.
Coming?
Jace held up his hand.
I've never been to Skyport with a free mark. Freaky memories or not, I wouldn't miss it.
He bowed to Harmony.
Nice to meet you, Your Highness.
Violet joined hands with Cole, and a shimmering disturbance appeared.
The pleasure is all mine, Harmony said. Good luck.
Jace gave a lopsided smile.
That doesn't work where we're going right now.
Die bravely, Mira said.
That's more like it, Jace said.
Off we go. Chapter 7 Jumping Sword. Constructed from stone and heavy timbers, the sprawling main building of Skyport clung to the edge of the brink. Several porches and balconies projected out over the endless drop. Beyond the brink, in a bright sky decorated with puffy white clouds, several castles floated at different altitudes, one of them close enough to allow Cole to make out details like the battlements on the walls and towers. A single skycraft floated serenely near the closest castle. Cole stood on a slope looking down at Skyport. Jace emerged from the quivering disturbance beside him, and then Violet came through as well. The wayport closed behind her.
That has to be the brink, Violet said, staring out at the vista. Brings back awful memories, Jace said.
Should we head into Skyport? Cole prompted. You could go out on the porch and look down. Violet clapped her hands.
Let's go.
Couldn't you have put the wayport a little closer? Cole asked. Or inside the common room?
Slightly closer, maybe, Violet said. I thought coming in on the side of the valley would grant a better view, and wayminders never open a way into a building uninvited. Don't you know that?
I did, Jace volunteered. I didn't, Cole admitted. Why not?
We don't want to be hated. Violet said. At the beginning of our discipline, some wayminders opened ways to spy or steal. Very soon we were all despised and hunted. Certain rulers vowed to exterminate us. Our leadership made a pledge never to enter a building without written permission. All wayminders agreed, most voluntarily. Eventually, we earned back the public trust. A wayminder who violates that rule is immediately stripped of all rights and banished.
Harmony gave you written permission to enter her tower, Cole said.
Exactly, Violet said, in the missive she sent.
Come on, Jace said, trotting down the slope toward Skyport. We're wasting daylight. Cole and Violet caught up, and together they descended to Skyport and entered the mostly empty common room. A few men played cards in one corner. Adam Jones, a burly man with a grayish beard and long curly hair, sat on his cushioned throne of translucent jade.
"This is a surprise,"
Adam bellowed when the three kids entered.
"I didn't expect to set eyes on you two again. Should I prepare for an invasion of legionnaires?"
"The legionnaires were after Mira," Cole said, approaching the elaborate throne.
"Have they nabbed her?" Adam asked.
"Almost," Cole said. "Not yet."
"You boys ready to get back to work?" Adam asked. "I still own both of you."
"Nobody owns me," Jay said, showing his free mark.
"Me neither,"
Cole agreed, doing the same. Adam leaned forward.
"Come here."
He inspected both free marks.
"Who did this work?" "You keep him away from here. The scoundrel would drive me right out of business. And who is this young maiden? A wayminder, I see."
"I'm Violet,"
she said with a small curtsy.
"I gather you brought her to me as a peace offering," Adam asked.
"No," Cole said. "She's with us." Violet held up her free mark.
"Those legionnaires did plenty of damage when they tore through here," Adam said soberly. "I lost 3 of my scouts when you ran off, plus Mira. And I had to bribe the interlopers to leave us in peace after we slowed their efforts to arrest you."
Cole pulled the royal seal from under his shirt and showed Adam.
"The High King will cover the expenses."
"You now speak for Stafford Pemberton," Adam exclaimed.
Somebody has risen in the world. Are you here on official business? Should I set the table with my best most utensils?
No meals, Cole said. Jace elbowed him, then stepped toward Adam.
What are you having?
If the High King is paying, we can supply just about whatever you want, Adam said.
He looked intently at Cole.
Is this some kind of stunt? Where did you get that seal?
From the High King, Cole said. It's legit.
Aye, it appears authentic, Adam said.
He raised his voice.
Bennett! Prepare an invoice for the damage done by the Legionnaires. The bribes paid and the value of 3 scouts.
Adam leaned back in his throne and drummed his hands on the arms.
Now, what else are you after? Or did you just come here to settle up accounts?
I lost my jumping sword, Cole said. I need a replacement. The High King will pay for that too. Adam winced.
We used to have several jumping swords. Then we lost the shapecrafter who made them.
Durney, Cole said. Adam gave a nod.
We still haven't found an adequate replacement. Scouting is dangerous. Only one jumping sword remains. We don't let the scouts use it. We keep it in the armory in case of emergency.
Cole stepped closer to the throne and lowered his voice.
This is a major emergency. The entire outskirts is in danger. We're trying to stop a Torivore.
Adam laughed.
What is that supposed to mean?
Don't you know about Torivores? Cole asked.
Vaguely, Adam said. Fearmonger and spooksters from the ether or some such nonsense. Isn't there one in Elowir? I'm not a mythologist.
There are only 2 in the outskirts, Cole said. One is about to get free. If he does, the outskirts ends. No more salvaging. No more Skyport. No more Brink. No more Sambria.
Sounds awfully dramatic, Adam said. In my experience, boasts that grand don't tend to pay what they promise. I don't understand the witchery of Torivores, but I am a merchant. I'll sell you the jumping sword if the High King will cover it.
Good enough, Cole said.
Funny, you should mention Torivores, Adam said.
Why? Cole asked.
One of our teams found a talking castle yesterday that promised an important message about a Torivore called Romaro.
Cole stiffened and leaned forward.
What was the message?
Adam shrugged.
The scout who entered the castle never returned. That means we abort.
Is the castle still out there? Cole asked. Has it entered the eastern cloud wall yet?
Wouldn't take long to find out, Adam said. Are you interested?
Yeah, Cole said, his heart racing. We need to get there as soon as we can.
Make yourselves comfortable while you wait, Adam said. I'll send for the sword.
Violet cleared her throat.
Do you mind if I look off the edge? I've never been to the brink.
Be my guest, Adam said. I'll have a scope brought to you.
No way am I returning to a sky castle, Jay said. Not if you tied me up and dragged me, especially one that already killed a scout.
They sat beside each other in rocking chairs, tilting lazily. Violet stood at the railing, peering through a small telescope.
But Dandelus created the cloud walls that make and destroy the castles, Cole said. What if he's sending a message?
Then he should have found a delivery method that doesn't kill scouts, Jay said. I used to be sure I would die in a sky castle. I even managed to make peace with the idea. We're all just prolonging the inevitable, right?
And then we got away. And I gradually accepted that I wouldn't die in the sky. Don't make me do this, Cole.
You can stay behind with Violet, Cole said. Too much depends on stopping Romaro.
We have no real leads. I have to look.
Jay sighed miserably.
I'm braver than you. If you go, I have to go.
Let's just take the sword and get out of here. Who knows? Adam could be messing with you.
You think?
Why not? He could just want you to give him a free scouting mission.
I'd check the castle before I went inside. Ever heard of a talking sky castle?
Nope,
Jay said.
Which one talks?
Violet asked, her telescope aimed at one of the castles.
We don't know, Cole said. Probably not one to the west. They're created in the western cloud wall and drift east to the eastern cloud wall, where they vanish into a huge vortex.
The talking one was explored yesterday, so if it's still around, it should be in the east.
So much to see, Violet said. Are you sure you don't want to borrow the telescope?
We've seen them a lot closer, Jace said.
But not these castles, Violet stressed. A person could spend a lifetime studying this phenomenon.
Or lose a lifetime, Jace said. Really quickly. I've seen too many people die in those pretty castles.
They're not all pretty, Violet corrected. They all have presence, though. Character?
And death traps, Jace added. Most of them have death traps. She pointed the telescope downward.
There has to be a bottom somewhere.
Nobody has ever found one, Jace said.
At least nobody who lived to tell about it.
Violet said, aiming her telescope straight up.
Who knows what trickery the designers used? Looping space, maybe? Illusions? What is behind this sky? It can't extend forever.
A man came out onto the porch.
Wenzel,
Jay said, rocking to his feet. Cole recognized the man, but had never officially met him.
Jace,
Wenzel acknowledged. He held out a sheathed short sword to Cole.
This is yours now.
Thanks, Cole said. Drawing it, he found it a tad longer than his previous jumping sword, and a little heavier. He would have to experiment with it and make sure it worked as well as his other one.
The talking castle has not yet departed the sky, Wenzel said. Only a few hours remain before it passes out of reach. If one of you wants to scout it,
Adam gave me permission to take you there aboard the Vulture.
Did you see it?
Jace asked.
We visited yesterday, Wenzel said. Strange hearing a castle speak. It promised vast treasures and secrets. We got plenty curious. Never saw the scout again once he went inside. The temperament of the castle changed when we left. It sounded angry.
I won't bring the Vulture very near. If you insist on a close look, you'll be on your own. Jace shook his head at Cole.
We better hurry, Cole said. Sounds like time is short.
Violet had spent the first part of the flight exploring the Vulture, fingering ropes, peeking into lifeboats, and asking the crew questions. Now she stood at the front of the skycraft as the desired castle drew nearer. The eastern cloud wall loomed not too far in the distance. Nearby, Jace adjusted the straps of Cole's parachute.
Do you remember why you have this?
Jace asked.
Of course I do, Cole said. You have it because the horrors inside that castle might be worse than jumping into a bottomless sky and hoping somebody can get under you before you fall forever.
Unlike you, I've used a parachute to escape before, Cole reminded him.
I wouldn't brag about that, Jace said. It's good to survive a close call, but the scouts who have too many close calls end up dead.
I know the dangers, Cole said. Jace touched the little vial around Cole's neck.
Remember what this holds?
Poison so I can end my misery if I end up falling and nobody can catch me.
If you fall below the range where the float stones work, you will never see anyone else again.
And poison might be better than starving while falling endlessly.
Does suicide poison seem like something you should bring along when doing something voluntary? I'm not doing it for fun, Jace. I'm doing it to get info about Romaro. I'll talk to the castle first. I won't even go inside unless it sounds like what we need.
Jace sighed.
You're determined. You know I am. Then I'm coming too, Jay said.
He walked away and came back, shrugging into his own parachute.
You don't have to join me, Cole said. I'm going if you are, Jay said firmly.
Should I wear one?
Violet asked. They're for people who are coming, Cole said. Violet put her hands on her hips.
I'm not coming?
It's dangerous, Cole said.
I heard,
Violet replied. Won't it be less dangerous if you can open a way and escape whenever you want? Cole and Jace looked at each other.
Yes, Jace said. That would actually be much less dangerous.
Might also be easier to get to the castle using a wayport rather than a lifeboat,
Violet suggested. Cole swallowed.
True.
But should I wear a parachute in case you get killed, Cole, and I can't open a wayport?
I'll grab one, Jace said, hurrying off.
Cole looked down at the approaching castle. Composed of weathered gray stone, the huge building looked long abandoned. Bulky towers added height to the outer wall, while more artful towers topped the soaring buildings within.
Looks ominous, Cole said.
Looks empty, Violet replied. I wonder how it talks.
Are you sure you want to go down there? Cole said. We really could die. It looks quiet right now, but visitors get killed in these castles all the time. Opening a wayport could save us, or we could get crushed or poisoned or stabbed or shot before a wayport can be opened.
You're a terrible recruiter, Violet said.
I knew there would be danger when Queen Harmony assigned me to you. Having me along improves our chances for success. I'm part of this mission. Jace returned with a parachute for Violet and poison to wear around her neck. Captain Wenzel joined them. They all leaned slightly to compensate as the vulture drifted to a stop.
Jace tells me you can open a wayport to the castle, Wenzel said, and another to get back. Is such a miracle possible?
It's a little-known technique for traveling short distances, she replied. Lets me open many wayports without the usual recovery time needed, something I am beginning to master.
I wish we had that talent with us every day, Wenzel said. If your technique will work, I see no purpose in drawing any closer to the destination.
The boys will need you if I get killed, Violet said.
Aye,
Wenzel agreed.
We'll linger and keep a lifeboat standing ready in case a rescue's needed.
Thanks, Cole said, casually touching Violet's hand and energizing her power. We hope to be back soon. Right away, if the castle doesn't seem promising.
Don't take too long, Wenzel warned. We won't bring the skycraft too near the cloud wall. You don't want to be in the castle when it gets there. Things quickly get out of control.
Let's get this over with, Jay suggested.
Violet opened a wayport. Jace nodded at Cole.
Die bravely.
Die bravely, Cole replied, as his friend stepped through, golden rope in hand. Gripping the hilt of his jumping sword, Cole followed. Chapter 8 Castle. Battle-scarred walls loomed imposingly above Cole as he arrived beside Jace. With the massive drawbridge closed, the castle appeared unassailable. The only handholds on the ancient wall were narrow slits for archers that began 40 feet up. Cole could not take his eyes off the colossal structure. Its menacing presence demanded attention. There was no obvious threat. No defenders manned the parapets. No sound issued from within. So why did he suddenly feel like a rodent cowering in the shadow of a hawk? Cole peripherally sensed Violet emerge from the wayport and close it. The three of them gazed up at the castle. Was it staring back? Cole could identify no eyes, but he felt seen.
What now?
Jace asked quietly.
Not sure, Cole said.
It seemed inappropriate to talk. He wasn't even sure he should blink. They continued to stare.
Does it know we're here?
Violet eventually whispered. Without any proof, Cole nodded. The castle remained still.
Hello?
Jace called. Cole flinched at the volume,
The word fell flat, swallowed by the silence.
"We're not alone,"
Jace muttered. "Could you have transported us into the courtyard?" Cole asked.
"The courtyard is protected by walls," Violet said. "Wayminders don't trespass."
"Does that have to include empty castles made by magic clouds?"
Jace asked.
"Didn't we want to make sure the castle was worth entering?"
Violet replied.
"Hard to tell from out here," Jace complained.
An enormous voice emanated from the castle, resonant and deep, loud without straining.
"Enter if you dare."
Cole felt the voice in his chest, as well as heard it with his ears. He glanced at his friends. Both appeared uncertain.
"How would we enter?"
Cole asked. The drawbridge swung outward, chains unspooling noisily until it thudded heavily against the ground. A portcullis behind the drawbridge raised high enough for a person to duck beneath it. Then all became silent again.
"Should we go in?"
Jace asked. Cole studied the castle suspiciously.
"I'm not sure about this."
"Treasures untold await," the penetrating voice said.
"What treasures?" Cole asked.
"Riches beyond imagination," the voice said. "Secrets of Creon. Mysteries of the Torivor Ramaro."
"Tell us about the mysteries," Cole said. "Tell us about Ramaro."
"He who desires the treasure must enter," the voice asserted.
After drawing his jumping sword, Cole touched Violet with his free hand and made sure their connection was strong. "Stay ready." She gave a nod. Cole reached for Jace's rope.
"Sambria, remember?"
Jace said, expanding his rope slightly and twirling it.
"Works fine here."
"I forgot," Cole said.
"Time to die bravely,"
Jace said, striding forward. The castle remained still and silent as they approached the drawbridge. Was it actually a bridge if it spanned no moat or trench? When they stepped onto the drawbridge, the voice spoke again.
"Trespassers not intended to receive the treasure must surely perish."
Cole paused. The others looked at him.
"We're going after Ramaro," he said. "Dandelus knows that. Let's hope this is meant for us."
"And if not," Violet said, "I'll open a wayport back to the Skycraft." Cole, Jace, and Violet crossed the rest of the drawbridge and ducked under the portcullis together. They had not taken more than a step beyond it before the portcullis crashed down. Quick as a mousetrap, the drawbridge slammed shut with thunderous finality.
"This treasure better be good," Jace muttered.
They proceeded into the abandoned courtyard, the vast castle before them, the wall behind and around them. No signs of life disturbed the stillness, and yet Cole felt sure they were not alone. He kept checking over his shoulders, turning as he walked.
"I don't see an entrance to the castle," Cole said.
Up ahead, a flight of steps led to a blank wall. No doors into the castle were in view. The lower levels had no windows.
"I see balconies," Jay said.
"Now that we're inside, will you open a wayport?" Cole asked.
"Into the castle?"
Violet asked.
"I don't feel good about that. In fact, the interior of the building feels shielded from my mind. Somebody took measures to keep wayminders out, but I could now go anywhere in the courtyard, including a balcony."
"Do it," Cole said, maintaining his connection to her power without physical contact.
"Survive the trial to obtain the reward," the voice declared.
An oval disturbance appeared near Cole. He stepped through onto a large balcony high above the courtyard. Jason Violet promptly joined him. A door led from the balcony into the castle for an instant. Then the surrounding wall swallowed the door. The portal vanished without a trace, leaving only stone blocks. The wall also filled in the nearby windows.
"This might be harder than it," Jace began.
Without warning, the balcony detached from the side of the castle and plummeted toward the courtyard. Cole separated from the balcony in the air before he could kick off it with his jumping sword. He watched in shocked terror as he plunged toward the ground. Without someplace to jump from, his sword was useless. The golden rope snaked around him, pulling him close to Jace and Violet. While one end of the rope bound them together, the other stretched to the balustrades of a different balcony, and suddenly they were swinging instead of falling. The detached balcony smashed below them as the threesome swooped sideways, angling downward at first, then curving upward with terrific speed. The golden rope went limp as the balcony to which it was attached broke from the castle as well. Once again, Cole and his friends were sailing through the air. Still holding them together, the golden rope spiraled beneath them into the form of an enormous spring that absorbed the impact and deposited them safely onto the ground. Off to one side, the second balcony crashed to the courtyard in an explosion of shattered stone.
"Thanks, Jace," Cole said. "We were goners."
"Don't relax yet," Jace warned.
Statues were detaching from the castle, stepping fully carved out of the stone walls like divers emerging from deep water. The life-size men, women, and children left behind no holes or indentations, and no carvings hinted at their presence before their arrival. Each of the statues carried a stone weapon, mostly clubs, swords, and spears. Cole could not tell whether the stone personages had waited fully formed within the walls and were now passing through the barriers, or if the castle was spontaneously creating them, but all the stone people moved quickly toward him and his friends.
"No fair," Cole said, retreating away from the castle.
The statues went from walking fast to running, stone faces contorting in anger. Cole turned and ran toward the outer wall, only to find much larger statues emerging from the soaring fortification, 4 and 5 times the height of a man. A bearded giant with a huge warhammer paced toward him, footsteps shaking the ground. Jace used his golden rope to pick up the statue of a knight and heave it into the statue of a hooded monk. The monk went flying, and the knight lost his head and one arm. Then Jace bashed the damaged knight into a shepherdess with a stone crook. With a resounding crash, she went down as the knight broke in half. Cole saw that fighting would not solve this problem. They were drastically outnumbered. Running would not work for long either. Dozens of statues were converging on them from all directions. More continued to surface from the ground and emerge from the walls.
"Should we go?"
Violet cried. Jace used his rope to whip the feet out from under the nearest statues as quickly as he could. The disruption was not enough. There were too many. Cole and his friends would be overrun any moment. Cole still felt a solid connection to Violet's power.
"We should probably go."
A wall sprang up out of the ground, dividing him from Violet. Another separated him from Jace, trapping Cole in a narrow alley. Statues closed in from ahead and behind. He glanced up. The sudden walls were about 20 feet high. Cole pointed at the top of the nearest and shouted, "Away!" He jumped, and the sword pulled him upward. His momentum died at the top of the wall, allowing him to land lightly. The top of the wall was only about 6 inches wide. Despite landing gently, Cole lost his balance. Pointing to a spot in the courtyard well beyond the mob of statues, Cole yelled, "Away!" and kicked off the wall before he lost contact. He streaked through the air toward his destination. The sword decelerated him right before he landed, but Cole still stumbled. Jumping down tended to be more jarring than jumping up. He had practiced with a new jumping sword back at Skyport. The range was similar to his previous jumping sword, meaning he could spring to the lower balconies of the nearby castle with a single bound, but the tops of the towers were well out of reach without multiple jumps. Many of the statues turned to charge Cole. Several of the new statues emerging from the walls came his way as well. A statue of a huge barbarian woman dressed in animal skins detached from the outer wall and stalked toward him, a chain mace in her mighty grip. Cole saw the golden rope uncoil like a giant spring to propel Jace away from the attacking statues. Jace landed nimbly and used the rope to yank the foot of a giant statue, noisily toppling the brute. A new wall sprang up, blocking his friend from view. Cole could still feel his connection to Violet and kept pushing energy to her power, but he worried how she was handling the statues. If he felt their connection, she had to be alive. But was she being apprehended or injured? Would she open a way and flee to outside the castle? Had she fled already?
Over here!
Violet called from across the courtyard. The shimmering wayport beside her vanished. Another opened, and one appeared beside Cole as well. Violet stepped into the new wayport and emerged beside Cole.
Should we go?
She asked. We have to get Jace, Cole said. A wall shot up between them. Statues were closing in, so Cole sprang to the top of the wall, landing the jump this time. Looking over the far side, he saw Violet disappear into a wayport just before the statues arrived. New walls erupted at unpredictable intervals, partitioning the courtyard into a labyrinth. Did the castle know Violet was a wayminder, or did it just generally try to separate groups? The female statue with the chain mace stood tall enough to still reach Cole. He jumped away an instant before the spiked ball smashed the top of the wall into fragments. Cole knew he would have too much momentum to land his jump to the top of the next wall, so he shouted, "Away!" again as he sprang off the next surface he touched, aiming for the ground this time. As Cole staggered to a stop, Jace yelled,
"The castle!"
Unable to see what his friend meant, and with more statues racing at him, Cole sprang to the top of another wall, and pivoting at his waist, arms extended, managed to keep his balance. He promptly realized that a pair of open doors had appeared at the top of the steps at the front of the castle. They had not been there before. Jace used the rope to slingshot himself in that direction. Cole could feel each time Violet opened a wayport as her power required more energy. For the first time, it was becoming an effort to sustain her. Cole thrust his sword at the top of a wall halfway to the front doors of the castle and shouted, "Away!" He yelled the command again as he landed, skipping onward to the top of the steps. Jace arrived a moment before him. After Cole landed, a wayport opened and Violet appeared beside him. Beyond the open doors stretched an empty hall.
"Do we go in?"
Violet asked, panting, her hair even wilder than normal. The walls in the courtyard sank into the ground, allowing an enormous mob of statues, big and small, to charge directly at them. Cole was unsure what to do. With Violet and Jace beside him, it presented a chance for all of them to escape through a wayport. But did the open doors mean they were passing the test? Was the valuable information about Romaro down that hallway? Or was the castle simply herding them in that direction to destroy them? "Come on," Cole said, rushing through the doors. Jace and Violet sprinted beside him.
"I hope you know what you're doing," Jace said.
"Me too," Cole replied. "Be ready to make a wayport out of here, Violet."
"I can't see in here," Violet said. "We're out of here, just like how I couldn't see in from outside."
"Try," Cole said, flooding power into her.
"I am, Cole," Violet said. "My mind is blind in here. I'm trying. I can't open a way if I can't see."
Glancing back, Cole saw the mob of statues clattering after them. He and his friends raced up a stairway at the end of the hall, then rushed along another corridor. Statues began to emerge from the walls at either side and behind them. All the doors up ahead disappeared, including where the corridor came to an end.
"No fair!" Cole yelled. "This wasn't a trial. This was certain death."
They reached the end of the hall and turned to face the oncoming statues. Instead of running, the statues walked briskly, packed close together, with more pouring from the walls.
"We need a wayport now," Cole said, feeding Violet all the power he could muster.
"Stop!"
Violet shouted, blood leaking from one nostril.
"I can't!"
A brawny, bald statue with a club in each hand led the attackers. Dozens followed, soldiers, dancers, barbarians, demons, fancy ladies, scholars, and cherubs marched together, weapons ready, expressions confident. Jace raised his arm and his golden rope unfurled toward the statues, but before it reached them, a huge hand sprouted from the wall and took hold of it. The rope writhed as Jace tried to wrest it free, but the stone hand held it firmly. In desperation, Cole summoned his power for a final effort and reached out to the brawny statue at the head of the others. To his surprise, his power connected easily. With an effort of will, Cole blasted the statue into shrapnel that showered the statues in its wake. The statues all stopped. Reaching out, Cole could feel all of them. It was like in the Echolands. No, even easier than the Echolands. He could connect with almost no effort. Had he been able to do this all along? Up until now, in the physical world, he had only managed to connect to the power inside other people and to the power within shaped artifacts. He had not tried to connect to anything physical since arriving at the Sky Castle. He had assumed that he couldn't do it. He had been wrong. The mass of statues rushed forward in a desperate charge. With a growl, Cole threw everything he had at them, and the first couple dozen statues exploded down the corridor in a hail of shattered stone. The surviving statues farther back kept coming, and Cole reached out, feeling them with his power, and then hurling them violently away. The walls of the hallway began to constrict, closing in. The ceiling descending, the floor elevating. Cole felt the walls, ceiling, and floor with his power and shoved them away, finding them easily malleable. He quickly increased the size of the corridor threefold. The remaining statues melted into the floor and walls. The corridor became empty. The castle was still. Jace stared at Cole in amazement.
"Who are you?"
Violet asked in an odd tone. "My power works here like it did in the Echolands," Cole said. "I didn't know until I tried in desperation." A statue emerged from the end of the corridor. Cole reached into it with his power and then paused. The statue carried no weapon and was smiling and looked exactly like Dandelus. Chapter 9. Treasure. The statue spoke with a smaller version of the voice that had issued from the castle.
"Well done. The defenses have disengaged. You're safe now."
"Dandelus?" Cole asked. "A simplified version of Dandelus, yes, with some specific information. Since you survived, I presume you are Cole Randolph?"
"I am," Cole said.
"I recognize you. From the Echolands. The Echo of Dandelus created this castle to send you a message. The message is meant only for you, Cole. So Dandelus created defenses that should be able to vanquish any intruder, but that you could easily overcome."
"Easy, once I knew how my power worked here," Cole said.
"Was it a challenge?" the statue asked. "This castle was specifically customized to accommodate your abilities."
"Did you miss the falling balconies?" Jace asked with a dark chuckle. "And the horde of statues?"
"Two artificial consciousnesses abide here. One controls the defenses. The other is me. The defenses did not give me access to you until I emerged from the wall."
"I'm glad we found you," Cole said. "Too bad for the scout who came before us," Jace murmured.
"There is one other living person inside the castle," the statue said. "Could this be your scout? The defenses only kill as a final resort. The primary directive is to capture. The castle is designed to prevent escape. Of course, anyone captured would die with the castle when it enters the eastern cloud wall and is unmade."
"The scout is alive?" Cole asked.
"We have a single young human in one of the holding cells. I can take you to him now or after our conversation. How about the information first?
Cole prompted. The echo of Dandelus became concerned when he realized Romaro was sent to Creon, the statue said. There are certain secrets he withheld from the artificial construct of himself residing in the Founding Stone, and many subtle nuances he worried the construct would not understand. One of these secrets is that through their skills in manipulating time, the Grand Shapers of Creon learned the key to everlasting life, as long as they never leave Creon.
I've heard rumors, Violet said. None confirmed? Wait, we've had many different Grand Shapers in Creon. If they can live forever, why would we need more than one?
They retire, the statue said. Go into hiding, partly because the duties of a Grand Shaper are taxing, and those who hold the office eventually wear out. Partly so their discovery of a form of immortality can remain hidden. Dandelus knew the secret, but didn't want it getting out. They can't leave Creon? Cole asked.
Time jumpers can only manipulate time inside of Creon, Violet explained. Time manipulations can't survive beyond the borders of the kingdom.
Time jumpers? Cole asked.
Highly specialized wayminders who can shape time itself, Violet clarified. I hope to be one someday.
You can shape time? Jace asked.
Me? Violet asked. Inside of Creon? Just a little, so I'm told. But a little means I have potential. Not all Wayminders do.
Can the Grand Shapers of Creon help us? Cole asked.
Dandelus wants you to seek out Lorenzo de Bray, the statue said.
He was Grand Shaper more than 400 years ago, Violet exclaimed.
I hope he has a sturdy cane, Jace said.
You should be able to find him some distance north of the old cache at Shepherd's Grove, the statue said.
Violet looked like she was ready to freak out.
What?
Cole asked.
He just told us Lorenzo de Bray is alive and where to find him, Violet gushed.
Lorenzo knows more about the vault holding Romaro than anyone but Kendo Ratan, who created it. Dandelus also recommended you seek out Kendo Ratan, though he is unsure where he is hiding or if he still lives.
Kendo Ratan, Violet said reverently. The father of our order, the first and greatest Grand Shaper of Creon, a master wayminder and expert time jumper.
What else? Cole asked.
Beware the Ancient One, the statue said. He has allied with evil across the ages in Creon and is a probable candidate to support Romaro.
Violet shivered.
The Ancient One killed one of our Grand Shapers years ago.
Hard to live forever if you get killed, Jay said.
No mortal is truly immortal, Violet said. Some are just really good at stretching it.
True. The statue said. The Grand Shapers of Creon are not invulnerable, but they have learned to live indefinitely if nobody interferes.
How old is the Ancient One? Cole asked.
At least 1,500 years, the statue said.
He hides his face, Violet said. Some people theorize he might be more than one person.
What do you think? Cole asked the statue.
I have no information about the theory, the statue said. Dandelus primarily wanted me to urge you to seek out Lorenzo de Bray. He may be able to help you prepare defenses against Romaro.
Thanks, Cole said.
Dandelus was sorry he couldn't get you this information earlier, the statue said. He would have told you this before you left the Echo Lands had he known Romaro would end up incarcerated in Creon. This was the first castle he sent with a message. He intends to send more, every few days, hoping eventually you would intercept one.
Lucky that we came to Skyport for a jumping sword, Cole said.
Dandelus thought you might, since you had to leave yours behind when you crossed back to physical Necronum. He also hoped that with multiple castles professing information about Romaro, you would eventually get word of the phenomenon.
But we found the first castle, Jace said.
Correct. The statue said.
Where did Dandelus go to make this castle? Cole asked. Where in the Echo Lands do the castles come from?
I lack that information, the statue said. Can you guess? Cole asked. The statue gave a small smile. I was made to deliver certain information and to have some semblance of a personality. I only know what I know.
Do you know anything else about Ramaro? Jace asked.
Only that